Is that Bo Derek?
That is Bo Derek.
Bo Derek's hot.
How old is she, you think?
80?
60?
No.
70s?
I'm going to go with 65.
Yep, higher or lower than 65?
Bo Derek?
Yeah.
I think...
Oh, he's looking it up. Never mind.
Right.
Hell no.
Right.
Never mind.
It matters to me. I believe in the integrity of the game. I'm not going to cheat.
Okay.
I'm trying to calculate, like, if she was X years old in Tommy Boy, she had to be, like, 40s in Tommy Boy.
Oh, she might have been 50 in Tommy Boy.
I think she's 65. I mean, can I go even? Can I take the even?
Yeah. Okay.
Do I have to go high or low?
No, you can take even.
Okay.
The correct answer is 58.
Whoa!
That's it?
Yep. Born 1956, November 20th, so she will be...
Why is this relevant?
She's on Sharknado 3.
Ugh.
She can still run on the beach with the best of them.
No, she's beautiful. Man, yeah, she was hot.
I mean, I can't say because I haven't watched Sharknado 3, and I probably never will, but...
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dope Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a 1. Had a little martini at the restaurant, followed by an Abita and a Gator, as I'm podcasting from Birmingham, Alabama, for no reason at all. Finally, the Saints training camp has begun, so we're definitely in some sort of football state of mind. However, that still doesn't mean that there's an overwhelming amount of information for us to talk about, so this episode is probably going to be a little bit more predictions than anything else. Damon and Jason really wanted to get the show in so that we can discuss their latest movie review of Sharknado 3. That, and this is the show that we're going to recognize our 5-year anniversary since the creation of the Dome Patrol podcast.
.com.
So, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the 5th anniversary spectacular.
Good to be here. Have never missed a show in my 5 years. It's kind of amazing.
Me neither.
I mean, when you think about it, it's pretty amazing that I haven't missed a show, but it's 5 years later, kind
is
of
that
crazy.
True? I mean, really?
I do not think that I have ever missed a show. I have, even when I've been on vacation, I've called in from the hotel room and done the show.
Yeah.
I seem to recall a show that Jeff and I did alone. Maybe not.
I think it was you and I, Equipment.
Well,
I.
We did that a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
And then even Jeff and I had done one.
Right.
And maybe I probably did one with Adam, with just the two of us. Sure, because Jeff has missed shows, so.
Mm-hmm.
My streak continues, but I'm just a 1, drinking a Bacon Bloody Mary. I found this Bacon Bloody Mary mix, so I was intrigued, so I gave it a try. It doesn't quite have the pop of Zing Zang, so I kind of had to spice it up a little bit. But not bad. You know, I got a couple spicy beans in there, but I guess maybe I should actually cook a piece of bacon and stick a piece of bacon in there. That would probably...
bacon, you know, makes everything better.
Well, of course. I mean, who doesn't love bacon? Even vegetarians love bacon.
Vegetarians. All right, Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
0.
Pussy.
So, Jason, you have to wake up at the crack of dawn.
Yeah, I got to go to Baton Rouge tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh. Although it's not as, you know, I actually don't have to leave until, well, yeah, I got to leave my house at 6:45, so it is still pretty early.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to knock this show out, folks. We got a few predictions to make, and that's pretty much going to be it. So I don't know how long it's going to be, but let's go ahead and get started. The first section is going to be headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
Section or segment?
Yeah, you know what, 5th anniversary, I thought I'd change it over to section for this show and maybe see how that works.
Yeah, I think next week we're going to go back to segment.
We probably will. Next segment, we're going to go back to segment.
Right.
right. So the Saints did report to training camp today.
The rookies
reported
only
to training camp today.
And they reported to the Saints facility, not the Greenbrier.
Wow, infotainment.
They don't report to Greenbrier until next week.
Okay.
The rookies come in, they kind of give them a look-see, give them a little bit of a how's your father, poke and prod, you know, that sort of thing.
All right, well, speaking of the Greenbrier, though, Jason, did you have anything you need to preclude this season with? Maybe, like, how you have an early prediction of why the Greenbrier is going to be the cause of a losing season?
No, it's not.
Okay.
We're not going to have a losing season.
I mean, you leaned on that heavily last year, so.
Jokingly leaned on it.
Okay.
It wasn't really.
Well, look, I think we all didn't like the, I don't know, the tone, maybe, of training camp. You know, hindsight being 2020, everybody looked maybe a little too loose over at the Greenbrier.
But I mean, I don't think it had to do with the Greenbrier. I think it had to do with the fact that we thought we were a damn, you know, we were a Super Bowl favorite.
Right.
You know, a lot of people have predicted this. I think it just kind of went to their heads, and they just kind of had this attitude of, well, yeah, we're going to be this top-notch team. And just kind of, obviously, that sucked.
Well, they've admitted that they bought into the hype. So.
Yeah.
And that's all behind us. Let's talk about the future here. So, all right. So, yeah, the rookies reported today, and the Saints announced that they've placed three of them on the non-football injury list. That's Davis Tull, who was a linebacker.
Yeah, fifth-round pick. He's recovering from off-season shoulder surgery, so it's not completely unexpected.
Kind of knew it coming in.
I mean, you knew he was dealing with something we didn't know.
He's the one who... Who's the one that would be competing with Junior Gallette for his?
He is. He was a small school guy, Tennessee Chattanooga. He's a pass rusher.
Okay.
Like an edge rusher, yeah.
But they expect him to be back before training camp's even over, right?
As of this point, I hope so, but with us, I guess you never know.
Yeah. All right. Next guy is running back Marcus Murphy. I mean, does he really ever stand a chance of playing this year?
Well, I think there was some thought that he'd be a return guy because he had a decent return, return career, kick return, punt return at Missouri. I mean, whether he was going to get any running back carries, probably not with the three ahead of him, but definitely a candidate.
Right.
Yeah, definitely a candidate for our returner.
Okay.
So I don't know what his deal is. Hopefully it's not nothing major. I don't know.
All right, and then we've got offensive lineman Antonio Johnson.
Never heard of him.
If he's starting like this, you might never will.
Well, I mean, obviously he's an undrafted free agent. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know even what his chances were of making the team, period. Could just be a camp body. Who knows? But, I mean, you know, Tull's injury, hopefully that pans out. If not, I mean, you could be looking at a guy that has kind of like his rookie red shirt. If it doesn't, you know, if he's not fully ready, I don't think they're going to rush him. But... And, you know, hopefully Murphy is available to play soon and it's not lingering. You just, with rookies, you don't want them to get behind the eight ball because it's, you know, this is the time that they really need to get the reps in. If they're trying to make the team, they really need to impress people. Can't do it riding a fucking stationary bike.
All right, Damon, any addition to that?
No, I think I'll cover it all.
Thank you. Okay, so then, let's stay with the rookies then. Who are you looking most forward to seeing? Progress through training camp and the preseason, besides Andrus Pete?
Well, I mean, I have stated that I do think Anthony will be starting from day one, so taking him out of the equation, I am interested to see how P.J. Williams, the cornerback, plays, because I do think he's going to be competing for that nickel cornerback spot, and I really hope that he plays well and we can get some quality there because we're going to need it. So that's the guy I'm most looking forward to. Because, I mean, Kakaha, you know, he should...
Kakaha!
Right. I mean, to me, he's...
Look up here. Look
he
up
should
here.
Make a somewhat decent impact on pass rushing situations, especially since we still don't know what...
You too! Look at
We still don't know what Junior Gallette's situation is.
You guys!
The NFL came out and said...
Look!
Jesus, whenever we mention his name, we're not going to be able to get through a conversation because y'all are going to just keep doing that. Which isn't a bad thing. I kind of like it, but man, we're going to have like a 5 minutes. Like, Kaha gets his own 5 minute segment every show. Because we're going to be stuck.
Look at me. Look at me.
Look out here. Sack. Sack.
Oh.
So, you know, I do expect him to come out and make somewhat of an impact. Maybe not major, but with Gallette's situation up in the air, you know, we might need him on. He may play a lot of third downs. So to me, it's mostly Williams, just because I think if he comes on strong, if he can show that he can play well, he's going to get a decent amount of reps.
Mm-hmm. And Daniel,
well, Jason basically covered everybody.
No. I didn't cover everybody. There's still you got Damian Swain still out there.
Alphonse, what's his name?
Yeah. I'm not expecting a lot from, you know. we will be pleasantly surprised. But
I mean, I guess, do you want to count Jean-Baptiste, and even though he's not a rookie,
no,
basically
we'll talk
a rookie
about him later. He's got his own.
Oh, he's got his own. His own section.
Yeah, his own section.
Hasn't done a lot to earn his own section.
He's got his own spread.
Wow.
Yeah, is there anybody, Damon, that
I mean,
no. didn't mention?
No, not really. Not off the top of my head.
I mean,
nobody talked about R.J. Harris.
Well, there's a logjam at receiver, so
right.
It's going to be, to me, it's going to be a lot.
Nobody talked about Garrett Grayson.
Well, because he's going to be the backup. I mean,
you want to see? I mean, let's see.
What do I want to see? You know what? I don't want to see him for another 2 or 3 years.
Well, I don't want to see him starting for 2 or 3 years, but I'd like to know that we have a legitimate backup and perhaps successor. I'd like to see potential.
He'll be fun to watch in preseason games. You know, I can't imagine him. Maybe the fourth preseason game, he'll get a lot of playing time. But the first game, I'm pretty sure. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm pretty sure the.
It's not normal that we don't interrupt you.
Correct. The first preseason game, I mean, it'll be Breeze for a couple of series. You know, then.
McCown, or do you think they're going to? I guess who's going to be number? Are they going to bring in Griffin second? At this point they know what they have in McCown.
Right.
So are they going to want to give Griffin more time?
No. I mean, no, because he's not worth trade bait, and you're not going to go into the season with two rookies behind Breeze. Not that God forbid something happens to Drew Breeze. Season's over anyway.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's only maybe a quarter or a half, then McCown will give you the better chance to win.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you want to see a little something, but being a rookie quarterback, it's usually they don't pick it up right away. I mean, who knows? I don't know exactly what you're going to see.
I mean, it's not out of the question that a guy who hadn't played could come in and play. I mean, what if there's more upside to Griffin?
Well, and that's, yeah, I mean, what if you, yeah, you
but
go
again,
with
Griffin and Grayson.
You go with Griffin and Grayson.
Yeah, I just don't see that.
Gryffindor.
You know, like I said, I just don't see it happening just for the reasons I said, because they're looking at the backup QB as maybe a quarter or a half play for Breeze. Anything more than that.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to see Breeze a lot. So you're going to see the other three
but
quarterbacks.
But model franchise, Tom Brady, he hadn't played a snap until, and then he took, look at what he did.
Well, that's what he's saying. Breeze isn't going to play a lot in the preseason at all.
No. Jeff's talking, I think, about just the whole career arc is what Jeff is saying. That you keep Griffin, and somehow, if he gets in there, he's the next Tom Brady.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Model franchise.
And I'm the next John Holmes.
So you're saying you have a small penis. But the defensive tackle I was interested in is Tyler Davidson from Fresno State, drafted in the fifth round.
So in other words, that, you know, this whole Mississippi, you knew nothing about him then. Go ahead.
Well, no, we did take a defensive tackle from Mississippi State undrafted, but it was a different name. But I was hearing, you know, a lot of this Davidson guy.
So
isn't that the guy they called like Rhino in college or some shit like that?
Oh, yeah. So we've moved from guys we're looking forward to seeing and just naming all the rookies.
We didn't name all the rookies, damn it.
Stephon Anthony. All right, now we name
but,
all the
But considering, you know, Bunkley's coming off an injury. John Jenkins ain't a sure thing. You know, he had a down year too. So Jenkins could be fighting for a roster spot if Davison comes up and shows he's got a little potential. So, you know, it's not out of the question. I mean, and we did bring in Bobby Richardson, undrafted from Indiana, and then Caleb Ewells from Mississippi State, defensive tackles. Over the past 2 years, we've been able to find undrafted defensive linemen, and they've been, you know, they've been fairly at least good enough to make the roster.
All right.
So that'll be an interesting. The defensive tackle position battle will be an interesting one that I don't think a lot of people are really talking about right now, especially with Bunkley's injury and who knows what he's gonna look like, you know, how he's gonna recover from. So
yeah, and then so we'll cover a little bit of that maybe once we start to see what starts to play out at the Greenbrier. But let's go into a little bit of predictions of some position battles that we can talk about. Let's start with wide receivers. So we know Colson and Cooks are going to take the number one and two spots. And if you listen to what Sean Payton and Drew Brees are saying, I think it's safe to say, would you agree that Nick Toon is going to take number three?
It sounds like it, but goddamn, he hasn't done shit, though.
He did at the end of last season, though.
He did all right, but I mean, it's...
Like in that one game...
Right. I mean, he scored in the Pittsburgh game. I think he had a good reception in the Steelers game, but
it's kind of crazy they believe in him so much.
I mean, they do, but he's got to go out and fucking prove it, because I mean,
but they claim that I don't know, is it the Jimmy Graham absence is changing the dynamic, but they feel like they can do what they ought to do with him now, and maybe they weren't able to do that. I mean they're confident.
Yeah.
Well, but they were also confident in drafting Jean Baptiste last year. How did that work out?
Andy Tanner's still on the team.
Okay. Is he really? Don't tell me he's really going to be at the Greenbrier.
Yeah. He's a camp body. Yeah.
He's a mascot, like a goat.
Three. Ah, yes. Teamwork. That's nice to see. Ooh, the grass is soft.
Andy Tanner, he's been here for a long time. Nick Toon's only 1 year younger than
him. I mean,
what's
the over under on Andy Tanner's age? 65?
but that is the question. Are we short at wide receiver?
Are we short, or do we have a logjam?
I don't know that we're short. We just don't, like, in between Toon, Coleman, and Shontavious Jones, I'm assuming at least one of those guys is gonna break away from the pack.
What about Joe Morgan and Josh Morgan?
Look, they're still. I mean, Josh Morgan is a savvy veteran. You know, he can make a catch when he needs to.
Joe Morgan showed a lot of potential.
When?
Well, 2012. I mean, you know.
Every
time he touches the ball, it's a big play.
Right.
Right. So he's your deep guy, most likely.
I know they seem to like Toon. I'm lumping all these guys together in one pack and just like, you know, two or three
and hope,
guys.
Hope one
and
of
just
them
hope,
steps
right,
up.
Somebody's going to have to separate.
Right, because when you say what Jeff just said, a log jam, again, what that means is, we have a bunch of shit. I mean, that's what you're saying. I mean, that's really what you're saying.
There could be some diamonds in there that just...
Well, in the past, it kind of felt like there was... No, the 3 and 4 spot, the people that were fighting for it was kind of like you choosing the best of the best, where now it kind of feels like we're choosing the best of case scenario.
The thing, like, they're just a bunch of unknowns.
Yes.
We just don't know what they're going to provide. They don't have a real track record. I mean, Toon in his career has, what, like 17 catches?
And yeah.
In 4 years, I mean, it's just there's nothing that you can look back,
which
look
means
on
he's
and
fresh.
Say. And look, you know, in 06, nobody knew who the fuck Marcus Colston was. He didn't, and he just came out. So you're hoping that one of these guys can kind of can do something.
Trying,
I mean, we're
rookie R.J. Harris, and then Kyle Prater is in the mix. Shontavious Jones.
Right, right.
I mean,
a lot of tall guys, a lot of guys over 6 foot. We just don't know that there's being homers. We got a lot of hope, but until we see them, you know, start playing practice and start
right
the games.
But look, something I think that we've always said, as especially in this Sean Payton, Drew Brees area, I'm not worrying about the wide receivers era. I'm not worried.
Area.
I'm not worried about the wide receiver making the quarterback. Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Can do a lot with nothing.
Play design, execution, Drew Brees,
right.
offensive line.
Well, look, these guys are going to get every opportunity to make plays.
Tight end and running back. Don't forget. You got.
We're not talking about those yet.
But. No, I'm just saying, like, that 4 and 5 receiver, we say, like, or even 3, 4, 5, we're saying it's a bunch of unknowns, and are they going to be able to come in and strike gold? There's very little pressure on them to do so.
Right. Under Sean Payton, we do a lot of passes, like Jeff was just alluding to the tight end, to the running back out the backfield. Right, so we've always said we don't need a Megatron or
Or like a Dez Bryant. It'd be nice.
Right.
It'd be fucking nice.
Well, but not really, because again, it's what we
well, hold on.
It's what we bitched about, or not, you know, so or at least what we're saying now about a Jimmy Graham. We had a great
Jimmy Graham, a great guy.
And then we all bitch, well, he's just focusing on Jimmy Graham and screwing up the offense. What made us so great in 2009, 10, and 11, especially 9 and 11, was the fact that you didn't know where this ball was going. You couldn't shut one person down. All right, take Marcus Colson out the game. We're going to throw to anybody. It doesn't matter who's out there.
Well, but that was, too, I mean, 11, that was Jimmy had a bonkers year, and that was before.
Because you didn't know him.
Well, but it was before Breeze started forcing it into him more than he probably should have.
Right, that we felt like it was. Right. So, but again, not having a Megatron Fitzgerald, you know, it hasn't bothered us in this offense in the past.
And guys like Lance Moore became a household name for that reason as well. And I mean, look, Lance Moore leaves, goes to Pittsburgh,
does nothing.
No, you know, he had age playing.
Yeah, right. He was also older. He was a little hurt.
Pittsburgh. But still, what he was, I guess the word clutch, that, you know, he was sure-handed, and we knew that if Breeze gets the ball around him, he was going to catch it.
Breeze trusted him.
Right.
Well, and I guess, I mean, one thing that's going to be nice, I think Cooks is going to fucking explode, you know, this year. I think
you
he's going to
have. Cooks boner is going to explode?
Cooks boner is going to break out through my pants. I mean, it is full on, like 90, 95 catches, you know, 1,300 yards.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You drafted him early in fantasy?
The problem of having fantasy in Louisiana, all Saints go too early. Like, he's going to have a good season. He's going to get drafted probably a round higher than what he should.
Higher than Colston.
Colston
may not even be drafted.
And that probably, as far as fantasy goes, that's probably happened in every other city,
local
market that your players go early.
But I mean, I do think he's gonna be the number one guy, hands down. I think he's gonna put up a really good year. So you just gotta these guys, you know, these other guys, Coleman, Jones, Toon, just you know, they have to show that they can catch the damn ball.
Also, I don't know if y'all saw this on Bleacher Report, but that tight end from Cincinnati, Gresham.
Oh yeah, Gresham.
Supposedly, I think he was at Arizona this week, but the Saints still have...
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this section?
I don't know, is it?
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
But he has an offer on the table from the Saints still.
And he went to Arizona, but then word came out today that Arizona was looking at bringing in Chris Cooley, who I don't even think played last year.
So if
they're shying away, I mean, Gresham's not going to have any other suitors than us.
Right. You know?
But
doesn't
Gresham have problems?
He was banged up.
He's not as consistent as he's got a ton of talent, but it seems like he wasn't as consistent as he should have been.
But again, he was in Cincinnati.
He played for Cincinnati, right?
Well, throwing to him, you know?
Right, but Cincinnati's not terrible. They made the playoffs the last
In the first game.
Oh, look, it's not a Saints offense, but it's not like he's been playing in Jacksonville.
Right. No, but they're right.
But
he's
still
a, so there's moments of goodness, and then there's moments of not goodness. He's like a Falcon.
And, you know, but a very good coaching staff can have wonders with that.
Hey, look, I'm all for bringing him in at this point. I mean,
right. The question is, was he the reason he was off and on, or was Cincinnati other reasons?
Anyway, I mean, I'd feel better
about
our
team to scout that and determine that.
Yeah, look, if I'd feel better about our tight end group. If he was
100%. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously, you know, the Saints and Peyton's high on Josh Hill, but There's still questions. I mean, he hasn't really proved a ton.
Oh, I know
there's
he is. Questions. He loved to run reverse it with Josh Hill.
He's got a fucking hill boner.
He has a hill boner, is correct. Yeah. Maybe Sean needs to be a little less.
I don't know. I wouldn't run a reverse with Josh Hill, but I like him as a receiver.
A lot of interesting questions that we're not really used to. Think about it. We've been set at the wide receiver and tight end position for a while. And now there's some question now. Or just the avenue of the unknown.
It's pretty
we just
fun.
Don't know.
It's pretty
you
fun.
Know, we
right.
just don't know what we're going to get.
As long as it works out, it's fun.
Well,
you said, look, we've been set at a tight end position for three, four years. I mean, I don't know. We had Chalky. He was...
So, I mean, you're going back to the first year of the era with we still have Ernie Conwell.
Yeah. But again,
and then we had Billy Miller.
Wide receivers, we had...
Well, we had Colson and Warren the first year.
Yeah, but yeah. But I'm talking about...
What do you mean, but yeah?
I'm talking about you. Colson, Meacham, and Henry.
Warren?
No, this is after that.
Right.
And even like, and, you know, in 7-8, we had David Patton, too. It was kind of like, yeah.
Right. So I don't know that we've been that... Well, I mean, we saw what happened with Meacham when he left.
Yeah.
Same thing happened
that's the point, right? I mean,
yeah, right.
Guys will do better here than they would anywhere else because of the system and because of their quarterback.
Right.
Let's just hope one of these guys sticks as a solid third.
I mean, based on history, yeah. You have to at least have confidence that they will. You got to be optimistic, not questioning.
I'm a homer. Of course, I'm fucking optimistic.
Right. Okay, next position battle to debate is Zach Streif and Andres Pete.
I think Streif is the starter day one.
Going into camp, but does he lose the job over time? And how long does it take him to lose the job?
Next year. I think next year. Streif is not the starter. I think Pete is the starter next year.
So wow. I think Pete starts sometimes this year.
I mean, if Streif gets hurt, yeah. But if Streif doesn't get hurt, I don't think he gets displaced. Unless he plays really, really poorly. But
And look, I don't...
Right, Streif didn't play bad enough to be...
He didn't. I mean, as far as these websites that rank the players, I mean, they have Streif as our best offensive lineman. Me, using the eyeball test, which is all, you know, I didn't see it. I'm not going to tell you that, I mean, he's better than Goodwin, God bless him, but I don't know. I mean, I didn't see it.
He was part of a line that did include a bad Goodwin, a hobbled Evans, and a fucking Ben Nubbs.
Right.
So maybe with adding Unger, getting Evans back healthy, having Lino in it, having a better rest of the line around him, maybe the play will be elevated a little bit. And
right, he was the best of that group last year, but that wasn't a good group to be, you know, that ain't saying much.
No, I mean, we'll see. I mean, maybe, look, if he just falls off and just has a big drop, I mean, you know, Peyton could be like Charles Brown. He's like, you know what, I've seen enough.
Yeah.
And make the change. So
But don't you think that Pete starts...
I think he starts next year.
I mean, somewhere on the line this year?
No, who is he going to displace? He's not going to displace Armstead, right?
Right.
He's not. They're not going to move him to guard.
No,
you know, he's
going to
stay
at
tackle. I mean, Streif is the only guy that he would replace, and I just don't think. I think they're going to want to keep Streif around for his solid play. I mean, it's not like he's terrible. He's got solid play, and his leadership in the locker room. I don't think they're going to get rid of him yet, but I think they can clearly see he's kind of grooming him to take over at right tackle next year, and the next year you go with Pete and Armstead as your bookend tackles.
Makes sense, especially with the whole leadership in the locker room thing.
I mean, look, he's going to be your tackle eligible. He's going to get a decent amount of snaps. He'll be in a goal line situations. He'll be your tackle eligible, and that'll get his feet wet. I don't think he starts right away.
So get his Pete wet?
Yes. not bad.
You see what I did there?
Even a blind guy could have saw what you did there.
All right. And then the third and final one to discuss this week is, and maybe we'll table this one, but it's kind of a cluster, but the defensive backfield competition.
There's a ton of guys back there fighting for it.
Yeah, I mean, this is bigger than the wide receiver competition, huh?
Is it? trying to think if it's more important just because of how bad our secondary has been.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
I mean, look, okay, but I don't – look, the 1-2 punch obviously is Ingram.
Right, right. They're set at 1-2.
Right.
So you battle –
Jay Baird and Browner?
You battle in for your nickel and dime, and even in dime, you know –
Oh, you said Gilbert cornerback or you said running back?
No, cornerback.
Oh.
Yeah, so your locks are Jairus Byrd.
Vaccaro.
Vaccaro, and then Browner.
Keenan Lewis.
Keenan, right.
Keenan
right.
Lewis.
Those four.
And Browner. Well, that's four.
Well,
right
wait.
There.
Okay, so you're saying Browner over.
Who else is going to be number two than Browner? Nobody.
I think we'll have a lot of rotation with Devin Bro. I think. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm just, you know, again, I'm all I can go on is what the coaches say and you know, what the media reports. That's all I got.
Right.
And they seem to like,
which is more than what ESPN uses or NFL Network.
Okay, well, I mean, you say Delvin Bro, but again, him and PJ Williams are going to be really, you would think, the top two candidates for that nickel cornerback spot. We're going to have to play a third cornerback a lot. It's
right.
Today's NFL, so he's going to get a lot of playing time. So it's going to be those two guys. Kyle Wilson, I don't think he makes the team. I think he gets cut.
Well, what about Sinceri?
Sinceri is a safety. I think he'll be a special teamer.
Right.
I do expect him to make the roster. I think there's a lot of talent there. He's a good head on his shoulders.
I liked him. I liked him.
Yeah, I do too. Well, I do too.
Again, if his story is any kind of indicator, then we need to keep a lot of depth in the backfield because a lot of people are going to get hurt.
So yeah, I think Bro and Williams will end up being 3 and 4 in some particular order at the cornerback spot, and then you still got Raphael Bush as a third safety.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And then I guess you'll have Swain, the draft pick, and then Jean Baptiste fighting over a spot. I mean, you think can both of them make it? Or
I think Jean Baptiste makes it. Just I know they say that well. Draft doesn't matter, and I'm.
Well, you want us to segue that into our next topic, then, so that way we don't overlap and
okay. You overlapped it,
duplicate ourselves. So let's just move into look at him tweets. So, yeah, I mean, and the reason I wanted to jump over there is because Mark 7 at, what is his Twitter handle? At ShellToeSoul.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Says, do we want Stanley Jean-Baptiste to be a success, mostly because of his name and only in part because of his position need?
I want him to be a success so we don't whiff on a fucking second round draft pick. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I don't want to have to blow. I mean, there's a lot of second, third, fourth, fifth round
That's
in that area
said.
of draft picks that we have kind of, you know, that we have kind of just fucked up on, and that's kind of hurt us over the past 2 years. So I don't want to miss on another draft pick that's that high up. That's why I'm pulling for him to show something.
Mm-hmm.
Please show something, because that looks. Now, granted, they fired a lot of their scouting this year. But, I mean, that really reflects poorly on the organization if you got a second-round pick that just is a complete waste.
And I could give a shit what his name is, to be honest with you.
But you understand the question. I mean,
right,
just,
no, it's no, fun, it's fun to have a Baptiste on our team. Come on, now.
Exactly.
But you're New Orleans pride. Oh, I'm sorry, you got some Alexandria pride. It's fun to have a Baptiste. Okay. For the most part, I don't want us to whiff on a pick, but also it'd be fun to have a Baptiste on the team. I mean, come on.
Well, all right.
It would definitely be fun, no doubt about it. Yes, I mean we like his name, but I'm going to agree with Jason as far as I'd like a not to whiff on a second round pick. You know,
right?
You know, I would like not to. Have a wasted pick, and look, we've talked about this before. Supposedly, he's doing better now that the defense isn't as complicated.
Simplified, yeah.
You know,
and I mean, you know,
he's
was
apparently a simple.
Well, let's wait until they actually report to camp and
right.
to make that kind of a statement. I mean,
also, too, he was converting, you know, from wide receiver. He only played cornerback a couple years, so maybe the light turns on this year. I mean, let's hope to God it does.
He kind of needs to, or else he's going to be the Andy Tanner of the defense.
No, he'll be the Nick Toon of the defense.
Yeah. It's probably more appropriate. Okay. Well, other than that, I didn't have anything else for us to talk about other than non-football news. So with that, I guess, to Damon's chagrin, let's talk, I guess, a little bit about golf.
What do 17 major championships, over $6 million in prize money, and complete domination of the sport of golf have in common? Two things: the champion and Aerofly balls.
Aerofly balls. They just seem to go further.
If it's good enough for the champion, don't you think it's good enough for you?
Again, I'll make it quick, but it was a really fun and entertaining British Open. Jordan Spieth going on his quest to continue trying to get the Grand Slam. He had won the first two majors. And the weather played a havoc Saturday, which is a shame because I woke up Thursday and Friday. I woke up at 5 a.m. and watched an hour or two before going to work because it's over there and it's early. So I had my whole day planned out Saturday. I was like, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to turn on TV at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's going to be the leaders teeing off. I'm going to make a Bloody Mary. Going to make a little breakfast sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
I don't work on Saturday.
Oh, plus.
Right. So I get up, you know, turn on the TV, and it's a crazy wind delay. I mean, it was basically blowing 50 miles an hour. Balls couldn't stand still.
Wind delay, is that related to Art Vandelay?
Who the fuck is
Art
Vandelay?
Are you Seinfeld fans know what I'm talking about?
Oh. So, yeah, so the wind delayed it for like 6 hours, so that kind of ruined my Saturday. So I decided to go buy a pork shoulder and put that in the smoker and let that sit all day. I can remember time. But we ended up getting this, so they couldn't finish on Sunday, so they had to finish on Monday morning, and there were just so many names that were up there, especially early in the day. You had a bunch of top-flight guys that started out hot. You expected a playoff. It could have been anywhere from 5 to 6 top-flight golfers make the playoff. Really riveting. You know, Spieth is up there, makes a double bogey, 4 putts a hole, and then makes 2 birdies back-to-back, and it comes down. He makes like a 50-foot putt on 16 to tie the lead. And then bogeys 18, falls out of the playoff by 1. Jason Day is just short by a few inches. So you had a playoff with Louis Oosthuizen.
That's what he said.
I beat you to it.
Louis Oosthuizen, Zach Johnson, and Mark Leishman. No offense to Mark Leishman, but I didn't want him winning because I like name players to win majors. And it was very entertaining. And Zach Johnson took it home, his second major. It's a shame because I would have loved to just be able to take off Monday, and I would have just sat home and watched 7 straight hours of golf and was completely pleased with my day.
Wow.
You completely are a boring fucking individual. My God, you're boring.
Hey, man, it was Jesus exciting. Jesus. It was exciting, free sports entertainment. No, think about it. Live sports
exciting,
entertainment.
You throwing that term around a little loosely.
Well, it was definitely fucking exciting. If you fucking simple can't get
there's
with it, then
nothing
go
exciting.
Fuck yourself.
Simple I mean, come on.
It was very exciting, but we had a worthy winner. He's already won a major. He's a golf Hall of Famer, so I was happy that an established player won.
Well, but Jason, were you in mourning because your favorite player missed the cut?
He's not my favorite player, but it's still
amazing.
Say last week about Tiger? Had a legitimate shot to win it, didn't he?
He did. Well, he had played well the week before.
Well, you know,
and this was,
you need to be in. You have to be playing to win it, Jason.
Look, I did not expect
Sunday,
him to play so poorly.
Sunday, him and I had the same chance of winning.
I know, he sucked this week. It was amazing. This is a course. I mean, St. Andrews. Tiger has won 2 British Opens on St. Andrews before. So considering he came off.
Jason, I used to be able to fuck for an hour. But I can't.
In your dreams.
I used to be able to. Good. Not anymore. Right. Right. No, exactly.
Good.
I used to be able to. Not now. No.
In his wet dreams.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
But again, it's amazing. The fall of Tiger is still simply amazing.
Well, to you only.
Like the fall of Damon.
No, it's just, the greatest golfer of this generation, one of the greatest athletes of this generation, just completely.
I wouldn't call him a great athlete. I would definitely say he was a great golfer. I'm not sure if I would go with a great athlete.
Oh, great athlete. Not everybody's a great athlete, but he was.
He was a great athlete. You
just
say.
To be so dominant. And look, he can.
Yes,
he's 39 years old.
Not every sport has.
I mean,
to be
look, Zach Johnson, who won the British, same age as Tiger. So it's not like he can't get it back, but man, he's got to do fucking. It's all in his head.
He hasn't won a tournament in 2 years.
Right, but 2 years ago,
guys,
he won five.
Look, honestly, I don't want to have the Tiger debate every episode, especially on our 500th episode.
Everything comes back to Tiger. That's been the day since day one. Everything's going back to Tiger.
But I mean, you just keep. You know, licking his nuts, and I'm just saying.
I know, I'm not.
I'm just saying it's time to stop licking his nuts.
Who put peanut butter on Tiger's nuts?
It's not cheating if it's your tiger. All you road trip fans will know what I'm talking about.
I'm just saying, last week when I said Tiger's done, and I said it 6 months ago and 12 months ago, and he's done. He's done.
He's done. He's not done.
He's done.
It's too soon to say he's done, but it's
no,
not.
No, it's not.
All right, we did
no,
this.
But he
we
needs,
did this.
So, well, we're gonna I know. Week. We're going to do it again. He's not. Now he's missing cuts. He's done.
We're going to do it.
He's right, done. Okay. He's done.
But, all right, fine.
Okay.
I heard you the first time.
Apparently not.
Well, hey, listeners, Dome Patrol podcast fans, what do you think? Is he done? Maybe he's not done. Maybe he's got another win. Maybe not. Call us. Tell us.
Oh, God.
Hashtag,
well, I mean, will he win another
tweet.
Tournament?
Hashtag Tiger's done or hashtag Tiger's not done.
He is down to like 250th in the world ranking or something. It's pretty astounding.
Yeah. All right. So final thoughts, Jason.
Final thoughts. Excited that the rookies are reporting today. And at this point next week, the full team will be reporting to training camp. I mean, it's. Our long off season is finally coming close to an end, and it's pretty awesome that 5 years later, when we decided to do a show, we didn't know where it was going to go, and yet we're still here.
Yeah.
So, and we got a bunch of listeners across the pond. I like that.
Around the world, even.
Yeah, I'm. It's fun. You know, I'll still have fun doing it, even though when I drink a little too much, I get too excited, and then I tend to peel back a little bit. But. It's crazy that I'm still, even though I've, for 5 years straight years I've known, well, if I drink too much, I tend to talk a lot and try to talk over everybody.
But it doesn't stop us all the time.
I think I'd have learned it by now, but I get too excited to do the show.
Yeah, did you learn anything about anything over the 5 years?
Sammy. Not learning.
Consider it done.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you would think we would have learned a little bit about ourselves, but we did not.
I mean, it would be interesting, though. I don't. Because I've got a different computer, I don't think I have the first show on my computer anymore.
Oh, I know. I'd love to go back and listen to it.
It would
I don't
be interesting
think we have
to, it. To go back and listen to like one of our first shows. I think maybe even the first show I remember because Chad wanted to do it with us too, and he called in from his car.
Yeah, remember
car
that?
In his driveway. Yeah.
He sat in his car, and it was like a 2-hour recording.
I mean, probably.
Yeah, sat in his car in the driveway.
The oldest one I have is, I mean, I have a couple of our mini-sodes, our Jim Hawthorne interview and our Cleveland Brown interview.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Ricky Jackson interview, which maybe we should repost. I think a lot of people would like that.
Yeah, a lot of the listeners probably today had never even heard it.
But the last regular show I have on my computer is when the lockout kind of ended.
Wow.
Like, remember, there were debates about the lockout. At the last minute... They came to an agreement on the CBA and they ended it. It was July 28, 2011.
Oh, wow.
This is the last one I actually have on my computer still.
And then, Damon, you're going into your, what, third season on the show?
Yes, this will be my third. I came in 2012.
Yeah, wow. How about that? So now, you complete this season, you will be the third longest tenured.
Right.
Yeah.
Participant on the show ever.
Yes.
Maybe we need to get Adam back.
He did enjoy the music.
Well, I was going to say, it's incredible that y'all started a sports podcast 5 years ago and wound up with a music podcast. I congratulate y'all with that.
Well,
I'm sure you didn't see it going that way.
If you listened intently from the beginning, we were always a music and clip podcast.
Actually, the music has gotten less.
Right. We used to play like 2 minutes of music.
We actually started a music podcast and became a Saints podcast.
What
are we? So, Damon, final thoughts.
Well, like Jason said, it's so nice. Football, folks, is finally here. This will be the last podcast until February of next year, where we won't have nothing to talk about football related. You know, the football news will be here every week.
Ooh, we won't have to talk about Tiger next week.
Right, you know, right.
No, you get to talk about it in 3 weeks for the PGA.
He won't make the cut. Don't worry about it. So,
but what if he does? It'd be cool if he does.
Yeah, well, but it's not. You know,
it'd be a lot cooler if he did.
Yeah, just looking forward to the season like every year. You know, I mean, we're getting close and it's exciting. 3 weeks until our first preseason game. So,
still haven't gotten our tickets yet.
Yes, that is something. Yes, our season tickets have not arrived.
I don't know, but I mean, when's the first preseason? Is that week two of the preseason?
Week
that's
two,
home?
Right? It's home.
So yeah, you have 4 weeks.
Right. Normally, we get them in mid-July, wouldn't you say? Yeah, I mean, especially around this time of year. I mean,
I would say late July, unless like if the first preseason game
tomorrow.
If the first preseason game is at home, then maybe we'll get them earlier. No, because we'll get an email saying that they've shipped.
Right.
Oh.
We haven't even gotten that yet.
Mm-hmm. But trust me,
hang up at the printer.
Yeah, they're coming though. We paid. They're coming.
Yeah, right.
You
right,
know,
right. I paid mine.
All right, so they're showing up. But so man, let's just I'm hoping for a magical season. You know, like just everything falls together, and I mean, can you imagine another Super Bowl run?
I mean, look, there is a lot of. I mean, not every year there's always excitement at this time of year, but especially after such a disappointing year last year.
Yes, we got humbled last. We got humbled last year.
Yeah.
We were humbled.
The overhaul to the magnitude that they did is, I think, contributes to the anticipation for. We don't. I mean, there's a lot of. You're wondering, did this work? Did it work? I hope it did.
Yeah, they better hope. I mean, for their sake, we better hope.
Right, yeah. But, like, what ones will work? What ones aren't going to work? I mean, obviously not everything's going
to
hit.
Right, I mean, you're right. There's going to be some draft picks that get cut, or maybe we might try to see if we can stash them on the practice squad for a year.
Yeah, and so that's what we're going to try to do over the next couple of weeks and into the season is, you know, I mean, that's what our show is about. It's not necessarily that we break news. It's not necessarily that we predict and try to be right, but rather
sure to go wrong.
We do have that. But yeah, we just kind of want to observe, tell, and discuss the story of each season as it unfolds. And that's what the Dome Patrol podcast is all about, with a little musical accent.
That would be so awesome if we have a glorious...
That's one thing we've never had is a Super Bowl Dome Patrol podcast.
.com. No, not yet. We missed out by a year.
Mm-hmm.
God, imagine that. If we would have been started the podcast the summer of 2009 and got to go through the magical season. Hey, this year, it's happening.
There you go. All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, 2015 off-season donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation. Deep, 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 deep.
The Georgia Dome sucks.
DOC, no one can do it better like this, that, and this, and it's like that, and like this, and like that, and it's like this. Then who gives a fuck about those?
So just chill to the next episode.